Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology.
Good job, Roger. All that just for Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? I think we don't have production value here. Welcome back, folks. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Of course, that's the great Sam Cooke being right there. Yeah, I just had a little bit of a lapse. The great Sam Cooke. I listen to him all the time. A great singer from the late 50s, early 60s. And that's a great one. And that's the guy whose songs, I'm assuming, prompted our good friend Ken Davis to title his books, Don't Know Much About History, and all the other books that he's written that he says he doesn't know much about. But the irony is, he actually does. He knows a lot about a lot of stuff. He is the knowing guy. He's our good friend Ken Davis. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you, and always a pleasure to hear Sam Cooke.
It sure is.
There are a lot of other versions that are kind of unlistenable once you know Sam Cooke's version.
He did it first. Yeah, that's exactly right. Everything else is a cover of Sam Cooke,
right.
Isn't it?
a poor cover.
That's exactly right. It's good to have you back, and especially as we are here hard by to Christmas Day, and talk to us about some of the things that we might not know about Christmas. I didn't know this one thing about Xmas, thing. A lot of people don't like that, do they? A lot of people, it bugs them when you do that. They think it's derogatory, don't they?
Absolutely. A lot of folks believe that it's taking Christ out of Christmas, when, in fact, it's just the opposite in a historical sense. In the early days of Christianity, people would typically spell the name of Jesus with the Greek spelling, and the first letter in the Greek spelling was X. Mm-hmm. So for early Christians, it was a completely acceptable stand-in for the name of Jesus. It was a kind of shorthand, or in some cases perhaps even a coded version,
right,
of the name of Jesus. So historically speaking, it's not taking Christ out of Christmas at all, but filling in, using a different symbol for the name.
It's just using another language. It's mixing Greek and English, isn't it?
And it's a good example of the kind of thing I try and do in the Don't Know Much About series. You know, so often we fear or are upset by things that we don't understand, and once we have the facts, it's usually something. At least we can assess it legitimately, and that's all I've tried to do in the Don't Know Much About series. And I guess the other thing that's
the thing though, Ken, you're just blowing a lot of people's righteous indignation. You're ruining their righteous indignation. You know, it feels so good to be righteously indignant about things, and there you go, kind of squelching that.
I know it. What sweet reason!
You're a troublemaker, aren't you? Bringing truth to light. I don't know what you're trying to do here.
Yeah, many people prefer heat to light. I prefer the light to the heat. But
I like the sunlight myself.
Well, that's a good segue into what we're celebrating.
I'm the king of segue, Ken.
Because last night, of course, was the winter solstice. It happened.
That's right.
Around 7 o'clock, and of course I'm looking out today. The sun will rise a little earlier and set a little later today, and that's what started this whole thing off in a lot of ways in terms of celebrating Christmas on December 25th. And the old Roman calendar, December 25th was the date of the winter solstice.
Right.
And of course, to Romans and other pagans, the arrival of the solstice was a very, very crucial date on the calendar. It meant that the sun was going to start, that the days were going to get longer. It was the return of the sun god, in essence. And to early Christians who were illegal in Rome, this provided an opportunity to sort of hide their own celebration of the birth of Christ, and eventually to reach out to Romans and other pagans and say, you have the right idea that the light and hope are coming back into the world, you're just worshiping the wrong god. And they used it essentially as a way to promote Christianity to people. It was also, I should point out, a long festival in Rome, a week-long festival called Saturnalia, It was a week of gift giving and candle lighting, of course, to celebrate the light. And so you can see, obviously, some connections to Christmas there. But what happened was, by the year 400 or so, the Pope was powerful enough in Rome to say this feast day, which was once in honor of a pagan god of the sun, will now be the day on which we celebrate the Mass of Christ. And so for 1,600 years, we've been celebrating December 25th.
But it is funny how some people, you still hear some people talk about the celebration of Christmas on that day being illogical and actually resurrecting a pagan a tradition, that sort of thing. And it's, you know, I mean, that talk about straining at a gnat.
Well, I mean, almost everything that we cherish and honor and enjoy about Christmas, you know, apart from what it essentially means for Christians, all of the traditions and rituals that we have, all the trappings that hang on this tree we call Christmas today, do come in many cases from pagan pre-Christian sources. They were traditions and rituals that people enjoyed and had, and then they were given a Christian face in the Christian era. The early church fathers understood that the only way they were going to convert these pagans and non-believers and bring them into the Christian fold was to allow them to keep their rituals, but give them a Christian meaning and a Christian interpretation.
Well, and what better time to do that than when everybody was already gathered?
Well, exactly, and not telling people that you have to give up the traditions and the festivals you love, but change the meaning of them. And certainly, as marketing goes, Jim, it worked pretty well. Here we are 2,000 years later, and those early church fathers who figured that out made a very smart decision.
Right. Now, the first Christmas trees, talk to us about those.
Well,
because that wasn't a part of the original Roman celebrations.
No, they didn't have Christmas trees in the Roman celebrations, but in the Norse communities, Scandinavia, the people we call the Vikings, certainly northern Germany, the evergreen tree had been seen as a symbol of life, of regeneration in the midst of the dead of winter, whereas, you know, everything else was dead and frozen. Here was the evergreen tree, alive and green, and so it was an obvious symbol of life. What happened is that as Christianity came onto the scene by the Middle Ages, there was a play that was performed every year on Christmas Eve. It was called the Paradise Play, and they took this ancient symbol of life, the evergreen tree, and put it on the stage, and it represented the Tree of Eden. And of course, that had to be decorated with an apple, so they hung apples on the tree, and that is really the source of the Christmas tree. It was brought to America by German settlers because this was a very German idea.
Hold on to that thought, Ken. We're going to take a quick break, folks. By the way, Ken will be on Fox next, the cable channel, a little bit later in the day. You might want to look for him. It's 20 after Ken Davis, and I will be right back.
Some cheap sunglasses.
It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out all the other things that you can use there. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, it's all free for you. Ken Davis is our guest. He's our good friend. He's the guy who wrote the book Don't Know Much About History. It's the New York Times bestseller. Something under a billion copies of this has been sold worldwide. And all your other books, you got one on mythology. I'm looking at that one here. Thank you for sending me that one. And how many books have you written, Ken?
There are six now for adults and about 15 or so for kids.
Wow.
And Don't Know Much About Mythology is the latest for adults. And a lot of the things that we're talking about are about Christmas and holidays and how these traditions can be found in Don't Know Much About Mythology, which is out now in paperback and it's available in all the stores.
Right, exactly. Everywhere you go, folks. And how about your own website?
I have a website that's really an informational site, simply don'tknowmuch.com, no apostrophe,
all right.
All one word. And kids can go there and find out more about my children's books, and I don't sell anything.
And you're going to be on Fox later today. And
yes, I'll be on the Fox news desk later this afternoon, sometime around 1 o'clock.
What about over the weekend? You going to have any TV shows over the weekend?
No, it's we're going to go and cut the tree tomorrow and have the family Christmas weekend.
Let's talk some more about some of the other things that people might not know. I think by now most people know that the poinsettia came from Mexico, but they might not know about who brought it over here.
Well, I'm not sure if everyone knows it's from Mexico. It was actually the American ambassador to Mexico had gone to had seen this plant there, and he thought it was a perfect symbol of Christmas: the green leaves, the green plant, the red flowers, very Christmas-like, and he brought it back to America, and his name was John Poinsett, and so that's why we have poinsettias.
What are some other things? Let's get and by the way, of course, there are white poinsettias too, right? They're not just red ones.
That's right, but the red and the green have always been the traditional colors, the green coming from evergreens, again, the symbol of life in the midst of the dead of winter, red obviously for the blood of Jesus. So those are the source of the Christmas colors. But we were talking about evergreen trees becoming Christmas trees. In ancient Rome, earlier we were talking about the traditions beginning there. They hung wreaths on the door, laurel wreaths or some other kind of wreaths at this time of year. So that's a very ancient tradition.
Right.
The wreaths represent a circle representing the perfection of the life coming full circle, and a round object has always been a symbol of perfection.
And of course, in those days, they were just praying that the cycle would continue. As you pointed out, Saturn was the Roman god of harvest, and so they were hoping that the weather would get better so they could plant some more and eat. They didn't have grocery stores to go to. But Ken, we can't go any further without talking about the jolly guy, Saint Nick, Santa Claus. Well, tell us about Santa Claus.
Well, this is a real merger of a lot of different traditions, and there are two in particular that lead to the Santa Claus as we know him. The first goes back to the ancient Norse, again, the Viking people.
I love those guys. I've always been fascinated by the Vikings.
German. Well, so much of what is Norse and then later in northern Germany did influence Anglo-Saxon culture and traditions.
Yeah.
So much of our language comes out, obviously, the days of the week in some cases. Thursday is Thor's day. Friday is Frigg's day. Frigg was the queen of the gods in the Norse world. But Odin was the king of the gods. And once again, going back to the winter solstice, at this time of year, Odin was thought to come riding across the night sky, bringing the sun back with him. And he rode across the sky on his horse named Stepnir. And this horse had eight legs. Now, eight legs is an interesting notion, right? Eight legs, a guy riding across the sky, and he also brought gifts to small children who would put their shoes out, and Odin would put small gifts in their shoes. So eventually, of course, Odin gets morphed into a Father Christmas type character. Eight-legged horse becomes eight tiny reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets merged together with the tradition and legend of St. Nicholas.
Wonder what kind of drugs they were smoking when they came up with all that, Ken.
Well, you know, all of these stories, of course, from every civilization has produced stories of, you know, gods and goddesses and superheroes and to explain the world that they couldn't explain scientifically, obviously.
Right.
And they created stories that seemed to make sense to them.
But of course, all this became this wonderful Santa Claus, which we all believe in.
Well, the Santa Claus came from the merger of this Norse figure with the legend of St. Nicholas. Now,
St.
Nicholas is an early Christian figure, somewhat legendary figure. We don't know a lot about him. And part of his legend was he's very generous. He gave some young women who had no money for a dowry, he gave them gold so they could get married. And his feast day falls on December 6th. So he was associated with the Advent period leading up to Christmas. And, of course, he was known for his generosity. So this good giving character who comes in December gets merged together with the older pagan figure of the Sunbringer. And in Dutch, the name Saint Nicholas is pronounced Sinterklaas. When
right.
it came to America, it was anglicized as Santa Claus.
We don't want to get too far into this because I don't want Santa Claus to get mad at me. Hey, thanks, Ken, for being here. Good job today, as always.
And Merry Christmas.
You too, sir. See you. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back another day. He's the author of Don't Know Much About History. Wherever books are sold, I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.